بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الخلق أجمعين محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. From Al-Kafi chapter 6, Rights and Privileges of a Learned Scholar, or the Rights of Alim. Here, the first hadith from Imam Ali alayhi salam actually is explaining that what is the etiquette and what is the correct way to speak and to talk and to be with the alim. Some people may be impolite and may insult the alim without knowing, may hurt. And these points are very important points actually mentioned here. So we see the hadith from Amir al-Mu'min alayhi salam, say among the rights and privileges of a learned scholar is that you should not ask him numerous questions. This insisting on questions is not a good attitude. If he asks again and again and again and again, naturally the alim will get tired, and that is not a good habit. You should not pull him by his gown. Sometimes they want to ask and push the person from his cloth that, oh, please come and do, but this is not ethical way of handling. When you get into his presence, you should pay distinct and special compliment to him while paying compliments to all present in his audience. I mean, when you enter a majlis where there are so many people and there is an alim sitting, if you may pay salam to all the people, but you have a special salam with the alim, a special respect and salam to the alim, though you have salam for all of them. So as a respect, that you should be more respected than other for his knowledge. Always sit in front of him and never sit at his back. If there is a majlis and the alim is sitting, you have to sit in front of him, that if he talks to you, he can talk to you freely and you can learn from him easily, you can hear him properly, and you learn from his ethics and character. Because in the alim, well, whatever he says, sometimes in between his saying there is jewels of speech, one has to learn it from him. So if you're sitting on the back, first of all, it is not a polite way of sitting. Secondly, you will miss the chance of learning from the alim. So he said, you sit in front of him. Actually, in front, maybe exactly in front, or maybe right and left, because the other side is saying the back. So maybe little right and left, but it's always better to be face to face, in front. Never gesticulate with your eyes and hands in his presence. Now, some people may point out that I would do this, do that, not this, like that. So this is not a good habit to point out with eye or with hand in front of an alim. This is not a good way. In his presence, avoid referring frequently, such and such man has said this and that and has repudiated you like this and like that. See, some of the people, when the alim says, he say, yes, other one also said like this, and that man also said like that, and third one said like this. So instead of getting benefit of the views of this alim, he is referring to what he know of others. Naturally, this is not a polite way of speaking. When somebody is speaking with alim, you should not talk about others, but you try to learn from him. He may refer to some people if it is necessary in cases, but not to repeat always what others are saying, because the aim is to get benefit of him, not to get benefit of others. Others, you know about them. Never be impatient and restless on his long speeches and discourses, since a learned scholar is like a palm tree under which the people wait for some fruit to drop down to them. So what a beautiful example. So if the alim has long speech, you should not feel tiresome, because he is like to fall in the tree at any time, death may come for you and you will get benefit of that. And then he shows the position of the alim. He says, a learned scholar is alim. أعظم أجرا من الصائم القائم الغازي في سبيل الله. A learned scholar is entitled to far greater divine rewards than the rewards of a person who fasts in the day and stands in prayer in the night and who wages a war in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says thawab of alim is more than thawab of one who is fasting and the one who is offering prayer at night and the one who is going for jihad fi sabilillah. Maybe somebody asks us why alim has so much thawab, which is more than these people, while these people have also great thawab. Actually, the one who is fasting actually is benefiting himself only, while the alim is benefiting people. The one who is praying is praying and benefiting himself. The one who is doing jihad fi sabilillah, maximum what he does is to protect body of the Muslims from attack by non-Muslims, that they should be saved physically. While the alim, in his teaching and preaching, he is guiding the people to the right path and saving them from going into wrong direction, and in that way they will lose dunya and they will lose akhirat. So the one who protects people in dunya and akhirat and guides them to the right path naturally is more important and has more thawab than the one who benefits himself only or do some favor for Muslims just to protect their body. So that is why the alim has a greater position and a greater thawab. With the knowledge of alim, we can defend Islam, can remove misunderstanding of the people, can argue with the wrong ideologies coming to the people, and can preserve the faith of the ummah so that they remain a Muslim ummah. So that is the importance of alim. That is why the alim is, as mentioned here, is more important than sa'im, than fasting, and qa'im, staying all the night in prayer, and also the ghazi fi sabilillah, the mujahid in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We come to another chapter, chapter 7, the passing away of the scholars, of the ulama. This riwayat, the first one, is from Abu Abdullah Sadiq alayhi salam, saying, among all the deaths of Muslim believers, mu'mineen, none is so lovable for Iblis, Shaytan, as the death of a learned scholar. Now you see, the most dear to heart of Satan is death of the alim, because the people will no more get benefit of him, and that is very dear to his heart. The second hadith is also a nice hadith and is usually narrated by people whenever a alim passed away. Is also from Abu Abdullah Sadiq alayhi salam. He said, إِذَا مَاتَ الْمُؤْمِنَ الْفَقِيهِ سُلِمَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ ثَلْمَ لَا يَسِدُّهَا شَيْءٍ. The death of a believer scholar causes such a cleft in the fortress of Islam as can never be repaired with anything. Because the alim, with his preaching, now he is protecting Islam from ideologies, non-Muslim ideologies. Now if he dies, then there is a gap. That gap cannot be closed with anyone, except with maybe alim like him. So that is his, the place is so great. And you see, the other hadith are mentioned also among important of ulama. Well, hadith number 6 is important in tafsir of the ayah. We read it. It is from Ali ibn al-Husayn Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. He said, my own death and the assassination of my family members has been rendered quite easy and bearable even for me because of these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have they not seen how we come to the land, diminishing it in its extremity? It means the death of the living. Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam said, what make me just feel easy and accept death of the of myself or death of the our people, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that don't they see, is about the people, have they not seen how we come to the land, to the air, and we reduce it from its side? So they say the meaning reducing earth from the side means death of the ulama. So when the ulama are dying, their position will remain vacant. It is as if the earth is then reduced from its sides. We come to chapter 8, Mujalasatul Ulama wa Suhbatuhum, the company of the learned and having association with them. Well, many good ahadith. The first is about Luqman Islam, is a nice hadith, you can read it. And we come to hadith number 3. Hadith number 3. So from Abu Abdullah Sadiq alayhi salam, related to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the Holy Prophet says about Isa, the companions of Isa, Jesus, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inquired from him, I mean the companions of Prophet Jesus Christ inquired from him, O Spirit of Allah, whose company should we keep? He, Jesus, replied, the company of those whose appearance reminds you of Allah. من يذكركم الله رؤيته يذكركم الله رؤيته. So you have to sit with a man in which when whenever you see him you will remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is one of the characters of the person which we have to be companion of him. The second one is saying, whose talks enhance your knowledge. I mean, whatever you learn from him, that will increase your knowledge. And the third character is giving, and whose deeds persuade you to work for your life hereafter. So here, he gives three characters for the alim, that you have to sit with the people, which whenever you see them, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and by listening to them, you will add to your knowledge, you will learn a lot of things. And third, through his behavior, you will get desire to work more for the hereafter. The hadith number 4 from Imam al-Sadiq related to the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, مجالسة أهل الدين شرف الدنيا والآخرة. Keeping the company of the holy religious people is a matter of honor in this life and also in the life hereafter. So you see, the honor to be with ulama or ahluddin, with the religious people in general, is an honor in this life and an honor in the next life. Well, in this life because one will live a decent life, in next life also he will be with his friends and will go together to paradise. So that is the honor for them. And we come to the hadith number 5. It's very beautiful hadith. لسيد أبو جعفر. أبو جعفر is إمام الباقر عليه السلام related to it. He said, to me having a single session with a man of integrity and confidence is far better than doing good deeds for the whole year. سبحان الله. لمجلس أجلسه إلى من أثق به أوثق في نفسي من عمل سنة. So much is important to choose our friends in dunya, because they will benefit us in dunya and in akhirat, as the previous hadith mentioned. And here Imam says to sit with one who is trustworthy is better than deed of 1 year. Then we come to chapter 9, سؤال العالم. وتذاكره means asking questions and interchanging with a learned scholar. In the first hadith from Abu Abdullah عليه السلام, what one is saying, I inquired from the Imam about the case of a person who was a patient of smallpox and who had died as a result of compulsory bath which he was given after his sexual union. The Imam remarked, in fact they have killed the person before giving him the bath. Why was guidance not sought? The only remedy of ignorance and lassitude is interrogation. Actually, somebody who had smallpox and he has taken bath because water maybe was harmful for him, and their duty to tell him that he should do tayammum instead of ghusl. But because he made ghusl and he died, maybe of infections. So Imam is saying, why they have not asked about the duty? They should ask, and they should know their religious duty in advance. So one has to ask about duties, religious duties, from the ulama. Well, the second hadith has also a nice meaning. This is from Zarara and Muhammad ibn Muslim and Durayd al-Ajali, are three well-known ashab of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He said, Abu Abdullah al-Sadiq alayhi salam told Hamran ibn Ayun about something. So I read it. Abu Abdullah, while addressing Hamran ibn Ayun, who had inquired from him about something, said, verily, many people met their doom just because they do not interrogate. So the reason the people will meet their doom days or will perish because they do not ask. They do not ask from the ulama and they don't know about it. And we see the other ahadith also on this subject. All are important that we should ask, we should sit with ulama, and we should inquire from ulama on whatever things we need to know about it. Come to chapter 10, diffusion of knowledge. The first hadith from Abu Abdullah Sadiq alayhi salam, saying, I have read in the book of Ali alayhi salam, not until Allah took the pledge from the learned to diffuse knowledge freely, did Allah take the pledge from the illiterate to acquire knowledge. It is because knowledge had been there already and ignorance came afterwards. Actually, in this hadith, again here, there is responsibility for both the groups. He said, before Allah asked the illiterate people why you did not go and seek knowledge, Allah will ask the literate people, the scholars, why you did not teach the people. So it is the duty of the scholars to teach and duty of the public to seek knowledge and learn. Duty of both of them. Because we say knowledge was there before ignorance. Knowledge was there. Well, it might refer because knowledge was there at time of Alam al-Zar, when the people have been witnessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, and knowledge was at that time there. Well, of course, here there are a lot of details. They say, what do we mean by knowledge was there before ignorance? First, before, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was before everything, and Allah is all knowing. So knowledge was before ignorance because Allah is all knowing. That is one of the ways we can explain this meaning, how knowledge was before ignorance. The second thing we can say, that because Malaika, the tablet, the pen, Lawh and Qalam, and Adam alayhi salam, all these, they were created before the ignorant people. So Adam alayhi salam has a knowledge, the tablet, Lawh al Mahfuz. So all they were before the ignorant people of Bani Adam. Third, the aim of the people and the target of the people is the knowledge. So the knowledge was created, the target is there before the people move to that target. The target was created and the people created in order to move towards that target. So the target naturally is before the people who are moving towards it. And, well, there are so many other points about it. Anyhow, the hadith number 3 عن أبي جعفر عليه السلام قال زكاة العلم أن تعلمه عباد الله. So Imam says the zakat, divine tax on knowledge, is to teach it to Allah's creatures, to people. So the zakat, the tax of knowledge, is to teach it to the people. So why this comparison between zakat and knowledge? This comparison is from many sides. Because zakat is the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on money of the people, and the knowledge is also is the right of Allah to teach the people. The second one, because zakat will make the money growing more, and also teaching others will make the knowledge will increase, will not decrease. Third, because in zakat makes the wealth purified from haram, and also the right knowledge will purify mind of the people from wrong ideologies. Fourth, zakat is a sort of protection for the wealth, because if one pay religious tax, Allah will protect his money from being perished. Also, teaching will cause preservation of the knowledge, and if somebody do not teach, Allah will take his knowledge away, and by the time he will forget what he have learned. So this comparison between zakat and ilm, so zakatul ilm, zakat of knowledge, is to teach the servants of Allah, I mean to teach the Muslim ummah what they do not know. والحمد لله رب العالمين.